It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Grant Gerlach. 19 Democratic presidential candidates descended on Cedar Rapids yesterday for the Iowa Democrats Hall of Fame event. It's the first time this cycle that that many candidates were together in the same room. It was an afternoon of back-to-back speeches from leading contenders and those hoping to rise in the ranks. And IPR's Kate Payne was there. She is our Eastern Iowa reporter and a co-host of our upcoming podcast called Caucusland. Hey, Kate.
Hey, Grant.
So how did these candidates do?
So this was a very busy day for these candidates and a huge opportunity. There was an audience of about 1,400 people, a lot of energized Democrats, party chairs, activists. And for the leading contenders and for some of the folks who are polling a little lower, you know, it's an open stage for them to really try and appeal to activated Democratic voters in the state and demonstrate their organization and their ability.
And this event comes right after the release of the most recent Iowa poll, right?
Yeah. So the Des Moines Register released their most recent poll with Mediacom and CNN the night before the event. So that shows former Vice President Joe Biden still leading the camp. And then close behind him, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg all sort of clumped in the middle behind him. So those polling results did set something of a stage heading into this event, set some expectations for those leading candidates. But notably, Vice President Joe Biden was not in attendance. His campaign said that he was at his granddaughter's high school graduation and couldn't make it.
But he'll be in the state tomorrow, and so will President Donald Trump. And speaking of the president, he kept coming up in these speeches, didn't he?
Absolutely. So Trump is top of mind for many Democrats. Again and again, we hear them saying that beating Trump is a huge defining factor for him. And we heard them address this idea of how to beat him in a number of different ways. Senator Cory Booker said that this race actually should not be a referendum just on Trump alone, but on American values. Meanwhile, California Senator Kamala Harris really situated herself in a position to fight Donald Trump one-on-one, and she closed with those thoughts.
So I'm here to ask for your support. I'm here to ask for your support because I am prepared to make the case for America and to prosecute the case against Donald Trump. Thank you, Iowa.
So are those different positions in these speeches, does that show a disagreement on how to build a winning coalition in this election?
We are seeing different theories on that, yes. So the candidates are splitting as far as those who are really trying to push the party further to the left, as we're seeing on positions on health care, for one, universal health care. And the idea there being that candidates think some of these more ambitious policies will be energizing and will be able to excite young people, communities of color, really drive up turnout in some of those communities that will really be able to carry Democrats forward. And then there are those candidates who are really calling for a more moderate approach and are taking the line that Democrats really need to win back the places that Donald Trump won, including communities in rural America, in the Midwest, the industrial Northeast. The idea that those communities should not be left out of the conversation and that a more moderate platform is a way to appeal to them. Former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper really put an emphasis on this, saying that Democrats could run the risk of going too far too fast in a way that he says could expose candidates to attacks from Republicans.
We must present a bold vision for the future. But we must also acknowledge that the most effective attack the Republicans can level against us is one of socialism.
Well, what were some of the issues or the other themes that candidates gravitated toward in their speeches?
So we certainly heard a lot about universal health care. Candidates, again, have different ideas on how to get there. For some, it's Medicare for all. For some, it's more like Medicare for all those who want it. So there's some disagreements on, you know, does that mean universal access versus universal coverage? Women's reproductive health and abortion rights were also big rallying points for some of these candidates. Climate change came up multiple times. The economy, the debt debt, student loan debt that people are struggling with, the idea of a living wage. And we also heard a lot about the influence of corporations and corporate money in politics. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren spoke to that issue.
But everything I propose comes to one central question. Who does this government work for? Is it going to continue to work just for a thinner and thinner slice at the top? Or are we going to make this government work for the rest of America? I'm in this fight to make it work for the rest of America.
Well, after listening to all of these candidates, there were a lot of voters there. What were they taking away from this event? What were their impressions?
Yeah, so it was mixed, expectably. So some voters told me that there are more candidates on their short list than before. You know, they heard from folks who maybe weren't totally on their radar before. And some told me that this event really solidified their feelings around some of their preferred candidates, that maybe they're starting to move closer to making some decisions, you know, settling on 3 to 5 candidates. A lot of folks said that there's a lot of compelling candidates across this field, that they still have difficult decisions to make. But again and again, folks bring up the idea of being energized, excited, inspired, someone who will engage them, will engage young people, will engage communities of color, and rural communities as well.
Iowa Public Radio's Kate Payne. Thanks for being there, Kate.
Thanks, Grant.